This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Chase Edmonds, the running back. Second down and goal from the 8. We've got 19 seconds left. The Dolphins trail by 3 here in the fourth quarter. In Baltimore, Waddle in motion. He'll flank to the right. Tua shotgun, back to throw. Looking. Steps up, fires, touchdown! It's Waddle! Touchdown!
Oh my gosh, Tua looked around and came back to Waddle. What a throw and catch!
With 14 seconds left.
Oh.
His sixth touchdown pass of the day.
What is up, Dolphins, and welcome to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. I've got Juice, I've got Big Seth, the fish tank is here. I am Travis Wingfield from the Drive Time Podcast, and nothing beats rewriting your entire show 7 or 8 times to properly capture a 21-point fourth quarter comeback. And Juice, it wasn't once, they did it twice, and then they had to go get another touchdown drive after a late Ravens field goal, and they do it for their first win in Baltimore in 25 years. And Juice, I have 15 different routes I could take right here. Like, I don't have a show for you because I don't know where to go first. I'm going to go ahead and let you take the first crack at it. What do we talk about now?
My goodness, man. I mean, the excitement, the emotional roller coaster we went through from opening kickoff to the last touchdown was incredible. The highs and the lows, man. And you get into a situation where you honestly, fellas, you know, we've been here before and we didn't feel as good about it. And Travis, I think you both made a point of saying you felt better this time around being down that many points going into the fourth. Now, I mean, that's a lot in the NFL, and that was my point. But these boys, these young men went out there, man, and did something that could change the whole outlook of the whole season. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see that you're never down and out in a game like that against a good defense like Jimmy talked about ending that show, you know, in that broadcast, this team right here has some swagger. And you got a defense that has some resolve after getting their butts kicked early. And you got an offense that didn't quit as the defense gave more opportunities, man. This can go a long way for this team this season and further down the road with some of these young cats we got on this team.
Big Seth, I think that Tua is going to have to borrow Coach McDaniel's wheelbarrow at this point. 6 touchdowns ties a franchise record, which kind of sounds crazy because my first thought was, oh, 6 TDs for sure is the record, right? But no, when you have when you have Dan Marino, you have to tie that record or share that record, and Bob Greasy as well.
Yeah, those two guys have gold jackets. So number one, just know that. And I mean, wheelbarrow. So last week, Coach McDaniel said, no, everybody gets a game ball. everybody gets a wheelbarrow after this game. That was unbelievable. I'm still trying to catch my breath. We were trying to say, okay, what does this mean for the rest of the season? They're showing resolve, to use your word, Juice. All right, at least they didn't quit at halftime. They're still fighting. There's a lot we need to talk about. There were a lot of things that I don't want to forget that happened early on. You can't give up 70, 80, 100-yard plays on the road and expect to win a lot of games, but they found a way today. And you're right. I think it could be season changing, potentially quarterback changing. Mm-hmm. I don't mean changing the position, right, but for what that meant for Tua.
Right.
Maybe franchise changing. I mean, that was an unbelievable game against a quality opponent on the road. It's a big day.
There's something of a lesson here, I think, to be had, to your point, Big Seth. And Juice, I'll ask you this, because, I mean, we get on social and we experience this game through, you know, the ups and downs. You mentioned it, the ups and downs of the Dolphins fan in a game like this. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm kind of telling you guys, like, when is it going to change? When are we going to have expectations, go into a big road game against a team that has Super Bowl aspirations and go in there and beat somebody? And it's not just, you know, the Ravens were the team today that got the fluky stuff that the Dolphins have found ways to upset teams in the past. The kick return for the touchdown, you know, the big plays that just kind of spring leaks in the defense where it's like, man, that they played well except for that one play. But today it's your offense and your quarterback and your two studs on the outside. Right. And I was telling you, like you mentioned, it feels like that dang Titans game, but however, we now have the offensive fireworks maybe bite back a little bit. And I told you at the end of the game, I have the utmost confidence we're going to go down and score every single time. I mean, is that just a product of having Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle out there?
Man, I tell you what, it's a product of a lot of things, man. Also, it's a product of some hellacious creativity.
Yes, sir.
I was gonna say Mike McDaniel too, right? Let's not forget that
he made some of the play calls. We were looking and we were astounded, you know, by some of the things that he was doing. And look, we finally have receivers running wide open because of probably that creativity. How many times have we seen that on our end where our DBs, you know what I mean, have been playing chase? You can't play chase with these guys. You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean it's we're never out of it, man. And when you hear an announcer saying he's all alone or he's wide open,
right,
way down the how does that happen? There's got to be something there, man, that we're missing, bro, that, you know, so, yeah, it's exciting, man. When you got home run hitters left and right, you know, Mike Gesicki yes. with a big grab, you know, and a great throw by Tua on that one. Yeah, we got some home run hitters. We can never be counted out of a game anymore when you do things like this.
Yeah, what a fun day. My phone's blowing up right now. I'm getting texts and tweets and mentions from everybody. I'm unloading the clip, as it were, with all my trash-talking tweets that I had saved up ready to go in case they won the game that I thought I had to sit on, but now I no longer do. But let's keep it there talking about, and, you know, back to that point I made, like, Xavier Howard drops a pick six. When does that ever happen? And the Dolphins still find the resolve, the word you guys mentioned each. Man. That's the word of the day right here for the Miami Dolphins. But, Seth, I mean, we'll get to this. You know, player of the game, game balls are probably going to be pretty obvious today, I think. But, I mean, I told you this right before he came on the air. 22 catches for 361 yards and 4 touchdowns for Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. That's
a lot of production.
Right. That's that's 7-on-7 flag stuff, man.
My goodness. It was unbelievable. And, right, just the storylines, even with that, Tyreek goes out and he's got what they said cramps. His return was questionable. We saw it earlier in the game, Juice. We couldn't tell if he took a shot in the back and was he feeling that. Why is he cramping up? It can't be any hotter there than it is in South Florida. And then he's out, and who puts the team on his back? Waddle says, I got you. Right. I can handle for Cheetah and myself. Right. And so I stole it from Juicer. Sure. That was a really good point. I'm going to take it. But I mean, it's exactly what happened. And, you know, Tua kept dealing. Tua did not let those interceptions get to him. And I don't think anybody lost any faith in Tua on that sideline.
Right.
I don't know what was going on Twitter because I kind of turned it off for a little bit there.
There was some faith lost.
And then all of a sudden he comes running back out like Jordan in the flu game. And next thing you know, not only is he running back out and he's cramping in between every play, but he's, as you said, he's running and there's 20 yards away from guys and he's not even running at full speed. It was outrageous.
Just play after play. Juice mentioned Gesicki with the touchdown catch in the back of the end zone. He also had one to set them up for a late – I forget which one it was. He set up a touchdown with a catch along the sideline where he got down to the 1 or 2 yard line up that perimeter there. But it was funny watching the game, wasn't it, Juice? Because, you know, at a certain point, I think we all kind of went from the – the thought of same old Dolphins to at one point we kind of awoke again. And it was funny watching those last plays because we're both saying like, man, they have that cushion on the outside. Tyreek has so much space. Just throw it to him. All of a sudden we're watching the broadcast and you can't see beyond the second level of the defense because the camera just isn't panned out that wide. And we're like, oh, he's throwing deep. Where's he going? And then all of a sudden Kevin Harlan's, he's wide open behind the defense. And we're like losing our minds because it comes as a complete shock in that moment. I just kind of want to hear you describe this, Juice, because you've been part of so many games. I'm sure it's different as a player, but as a diehard fan of this team, I also know that you know how these games feel to win when you have no control and you're just a crazed fanatic yelling about it. Like, I kind of want to hear where you put this win in your Dolphins fan viewing experience, because I don't think I can think of one that's better than this.
No. I mean, there are some ones that, you know, that come to mind on a single play. You know, of course, you got, you know, the game against the Ravens when, you know, Greg Camarillo, you know, that play, of course, you know, the New England play on the kickoff return, the Miami Miracle. But when you talk about a whole half of figuring out a way to get it done, and then just the crescendo, the build up, not only when the offense scored, you know, the defense goes out there and gets a stop, or the defense goes out there and holds them to 3 points, which was huge right there, you know. And then the offense just comes out, and they've got this swagger that we haven't seen. And you see Tua ripping it. You see guys getting open, making tough catches, you know. And we talked about that, too. Tua threw a couple guys in tough positions, but when you're trying to win a game late, it happens like that. But he tried to protect them a lot of times, too. You saw some balls that were a little bit behind guys. That wasn't behind them. That was to keep them from running into a headache. You know, I mean, that's a perfectly placed ball, man. So, I mean, the whole thing – all the naysayers about what this guy can do and cannot do, you know, he answered a lot of questions. Now he has to continue to follow it up and be himself. That's it, man. Continue to do those things, and I'm a believer right now, and we have to continue to see things like that.
Love hearing that.
What a great, great, great job by all those guys involved, but it starts with our head man and the guy that touched the ball 90-some% of the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. And look, it would have been easy to say, well, we gave up a touchdown, you know, on the kickoff, and the defense was giving up, what was it, 79-yard runs and 75-yard touchdown passes. It would have been easy for the offense to kind of, I don't want to say check out, but if they didn't finish the way they finished, it would have been easy to say, well, we'll line up and we'll get them the next time, and hopefully our defense will play more characteristically of what we expect from them. But they just kept fighting. They kept coming at you. And what a difference. What a difference in just, you talk about the confidence. Travis, you said it yourself. I felt like we were going to score every time. They did as well. I don't know that we've seen that. Certainly not in Tua's tenure here. I don't think that we've seen that level of confidence. He shook off those interceptions. I told you guys earlier, I wasn't as upset with the interceptions. Not that I'm cheering for interceptions. I thought the second one, we didn't know where he was throwing it, but I didn't. It should not have hurt this team. Your defense can't give up an 80-yard drive with 51 seconds to go right before the half. You know, your defense has to protect your quarterback a little bit there. But man, oh man, what he did in the second half and that fourth quarter, it's legendary. That was a legendary performance.
That's the only word for it. A legendary performance. And, you know, kind of the game I keep thinking about, and, you know, Juice, you mentioned earlier as a Dolphins fan and before your even years playing with the team, I'm sure they had, you know, the 85 Bears game comes to mind. Like, but I'm talking about more recently, like the post-Marino era for, you know, the Dolphins fan.
I wasn't a Dolphin then.
Yeah, exactly. So, Browns and up in the Ohio.
Until you start getting that check.
But I mean, for, you know, as a 35-year-old Dolphins fan, I feel like I kind of epitomize that generation of Dolphins fans, and there just isn't that game. I'm thinking about it right now. The 2005, it was, the Dolphins were 4-7. I think Buffalo was 5-6, and they came back behind Sage Rosenfels and 3 fourth quarter touchdowns to get that victory. But like, it was a fun footnote in an otherwise kind of lost season. But I mean, it, like, this game, to have the quarterback do that against a team like Baltimore, who, like I said, I think is going to have a say in who goes to the Super Bowl from this conference. And, you know, I'm going to have to redo my entire podcast for tonight. I had the whole show planned out. Now I have nothing, and I couldn't be.
And that's the way you want it, right? That's exactly right. You know, and let's not
hold that point. We're going to come back to that on the other side, Big Steph.
I got it.
Dolphins game day is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from Baltimore. I think I have this right. Dolphins 42, Ravens 38.
Yes, sir.
Feels good to say that. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show presented by the Palm Beaches.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chase Edmonds, the running back, second down and goal from the 8. We've got 19 seconds left. The Dolphins trail by 3 here in the fourth quarter in Baltimore. Waddle in motion. Hill flanked to the right to a shotgun. Back to throw. Looking. Steps up. Fires. Touchdown!
Okay.
It's Waddle! Touchdown!
Oh, my gosh. Tua looked around and came back to Waddle. What a throw and catch!
With 14 seconds left.
Oh,
his sixth touchdown pass of the day.
I just keep laughing, guys, because I still can't believe that just happened. I still can't believe that I just like expected them to hit 15, 20-yard plays every play. Tua finishes 36 of 50 for 469 yards. 6 touchdowns, 2 picks, a 124.1 passer rating. And, Juice, I mean, was that 5 touchdowns in the second half, I think it was? Did he have 1 in the first half, right?
Yeah.
5 touchdown passes in the second half. I mean, Juice, you touched on it earlier, but I mean, for the Dolphins fans out there that were either, you know, riding off the quarterback in the first half, or now they're probably out there celebrating the fact that they want to, you know, give the quarterback the the big extension, like,
right,
where do you come down on his performance? Like, does this really put you in a position of finality about Tua, or do you still need to see more? Like, I'm trying to ask is where you come down after this game with Tua.
My whole opinion in the first place was Tua's going to have to win us some games. You know, he doesn't have to win them all. Just don't lose any, you know, but he's going to have to win us some games. This is one of those games he went out and won for us. Now, we're going to need a few more of those, but does he have to win all the games for us? Absolutely not. So I think this is a huge confidence boost for him, but I also think he needs to realize he doesn't have to do it all by himself. You know, some teams are stuck like that, where it's all about the quarterback. But Tua showed that when need be today, he was able to go out there and do it. So my whole point is, you know, he gained a lot more confidence from a lot of people in this world, including myself. But it has to be something that he does. Now, look, now we're gonna come up short a couple games. So I don't want people to say, oh, you know, he did it this week. But you have to win a lot more of these games and be able to be involved in a lot more of these games than you're not. And when you get these opportunities, this is where quarterbacks are made. And today showed what quarterbacks are made of by going out there and doing what he did. So continue to do that, and you won't hear any talk from anybody else. I mean, a lot of these young quarterbacks had awful beginnings. Now it's time for Tua to turn that page and start being able to go out there and win games for us as well.
Does this give us the return of Seth Tungavailevit?
Of course.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. It's hard to argue with that. I'll take a 6-touchdown, 400-yard performance every week. But Juice, you're right. He's not going to need to do that every week. This was not what you would expect from a Miami Dolphins defense, especially the way they played this Baltimore team last year. And Baltimore had a lot to prove after that game. You heard Lamar Jackson say, you don't hear that often in week two. Hey, we've got something for him. We've got something for him. They were licking their chops. They were ready for this game. And they showed up ready for this game. But I don't think anybody anticipated a 42-point outburst by this team, 6 touchdowns from Tua. So, I mean, just a spectacular performance. And I think you're right, Juice. Like, outside of the building, he proved a lot to a lot of people. I don't know that there's any quarterback outside of Tom Brady that's talked about more than Tua for whatever reason on a national level, and they can talk about him some more this week. But what can you say other than the fact that he was outstanding?
I think the biggest thing I point to here, guys, is I was kind of tracking this throughout the game, because once they start to pile a few of them up, I start thinking to myself, well, he's doing pretty well on third down, so I started tracking it. Here's his third down conversion race today. He 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8. He was 7 of 8. So the first one was 7 yards to go, 12-yard completion. 18 yards to go, incomplete. Then he didn't miss one the rest of the game. 5 yards to go, they picked up 4 yards on that weird play to Waddle where he had the forward progress, but for some reason they didn't give him the forward progress. They converted on the next play, so I guess it's 6 for 8. But I'm going to give it to him because I'm going to do a PFF here and change
the
stats.
No. I'm not going to let you do it. I'm not going to let you do it, Travis.
I knew he's going to
get it. You can't change the stats. They're in the books. I'm looking at him right here. Don't change the stats.
He did
enough. He did.
Sure.
6 touchdowns, 400 yards. We don't need to make up anything. You don't have to. PFF doesn't have to. Let's go with what happened there.
Sure.
They were outstanding. They were 7-11 on third down as a team. They were fabulous. We don't need to make up anything.
Fair enough. I just really hated that call. I really, really hated
it. It was a terrible call.
Oh, man.
There were a lot of calls that were questionable.
Yeah.
But it didn't. None of it mattered.
Exactly.
And they stuck together.
Resolve.
Juice, you kept saying that you wanted to hear what Coach McDaniel had to say at halftime. Boy, I would have loved to hear that.
Yes.
I know we're going to hear him postgame.
We'll hear something.
But whatever he said, talk about that. Halftime adjustments, light and a fire, whatever it was, boy, did they respond.
And that probably goes to Josh Boyer, too. He actually had to go out there and he had to say some things too. His team only gave up 10 points in the
second
half.
Head coach's defense,
1,000%.
Great point,
1,000%.
To finish that point, so it gets better after that. 10 yards to go, 11 yards to Waddle. 13 yards to go, 14-yard touchdown to Mike Gesicki. 3 yards to go, goal to go, touchdown to River Craycraft, where he spun out of pressure and evaded that rush and threw the touchdown pass.
Where did he go to school?
Which one, Tua?
Craycraft.
Oh, he's a Washington State Cougar. 3-0 Washington State Cougars.
You know Tua had a heck of a game if he's not even going crazy over Goku.
I don't care at this point. The last two, 10 yards to go, 48-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. 10 yards to go, 60-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. I can't wait to go look at the advanced metrics on this and the average depth of target, the average yards per pass, because I keep hearing it all summer long, all spring long, about how this maximizing Tyreek is going to be impossible because the quarterback can't do it. Well, the joke's on you because he did it today. So that was your key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. All the latest GM models are right here at the Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, and they're all backed by Morse. And we're going to get to Tua's audio here in just a few minutes. We have a couple minutes left on this segment, guys, our key player of the game. But I wanted to finish up here because we haven't talked about him besides you guys getting into it right there. Coach McDaniel and the kind of turnaround there, to come out of the locker room in the second half and the Dolphins got the football first, and did they go down and score right away? I can't remember because there was so much that happened in this game.
Were you watching this game or just
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of everything, not listening to you when you were telling me all the information you were giving me as well. But, to come out and have that second half performance and just stay in it, that speaks to the coach's authority in that locker room, does it not?
It does, and they did come down and score, Travis.
Yes,
and at one point we said, hey, this could potentially be the drive of the game.
75 yards,
right? And that was to Gesicki,
right?
Was that the
That's
one that,
correct.
Yeah, so we thought that was really important for them to come out and score and say we're not laying down. So that's what happened over there.
So thank you. I
when you go back
that.
And watch the All-22, yeah. You're going to be like, oh, wow.
I know. I'm all over the place. And you have my numbers, and you check for me. That's why I was curious about the second half stats. I'm sure you'll have those for me at some point as well. But Juice, let's go back to Coach here. We have 2 minutes left in the segment. I just want to talk about the entire coaching staff because the entire team. For Tyreek to come out, and I think I even said like at one point, you know, I was being same old Dolphins fan, wasn't I? Shut it down, Tyreek. Let's get to Buffalo next week. We'll be fine. And just move on because yeah. This game is a loss. But it wasn't. And you know, the players do it. They like Coach would say, I didn't do S, right? I didn't do anything. Well, right. Coach, I think you did today.
Right. Coach was amazing. And Seth on that point, Seth said, no, this is cramps, man. It'll be all right. Right. Seth said, no, he can't. No, we don't shut it down on cramps.
Are you hurt or are you injured, right, Jim?
That's right. Damn right, man. You know, man, I tell you, I mean, you see a coach that that has these guys, man, believing. There's a good belief right now, man. Last week, you know, he went out there and you know, and here's what else he has. Travis, you know, he told the offense that it was a defensive team.
Right, talk about that.
So, and the defense loves that. Now, the offense took offense to that, it sounds like.
Until proven otherwise, right?
You know what I mean? Until proven otherwise. Today, the offense carried their side of it, man, and that's a coach that's trying to get the best out of both sides. He saw a great job out of defense last time. He challenged the offense. They were coming up a little short early, and then they found a way. So, I think he hits it on all angles right now, man. He's just he's got a great pulse, and he's got the pulse of his team down very well. And you can tell they react, they respond, they go out there and they play hard for him, and they go out there and execute, man. You got guys that haven't gotten a lot of opportunities at times or were kind of forgotten a little bit that were called on to go out there and make plays, and they showed up. And that happens when you got guys that believe in what your coach is doing out there.
They certainly checked their pulse coming out of the break there at halftime, didn't they, guys?
I checked mine a few times. Yeah, I was worried. I took my blood pressure medicine, though, thank goodness.
After Juice made both of our hands red from the high fives. No wonder he catches so many damn balls. Look at that power. The power he has behind those high fives is crazy. So Tua is your player of the game at stat line once again, 36 of 50. I actually missed a number up here. I have 4,869 yards. He only had 469. It wasn't 4,000 yards today. 6 touchdown passes, 2 picks, a 121.4 passer rating. And I'm so excited tomorrow to be on Twitter sharing stats and talking to all the people that have doubted this guy for so long. Maybe it's just 1 week, but I want to enjoy the hell.
Hey, we're going to enjoy it. Hey, that's what we're allowed to do that. We can do it as much as we want.
We're going to ride it all the way, our wheelbarrow, all the way back home. Speaking of Tua, we'll hear from the Dolphins' victorious quarterback, who's now 15-8 as a starter of this team. That's next here. Dolphins postgame driven by Gunther Volkswagen. You've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen to get behind the wheel of a new Volkswagen SUV in Fort Lauderdale, Coconut Creek, and Delray Beach. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Dolphins 42, Ravens 38. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins Radio Network, where Dolphins fans live.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Make more good in the all-new Sportage X-Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive and available 360-degree surround view monitor. No mission is too small to take on, and the mission was not too small to take on for quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. His record-tying 6-touchdown pass day ties Dan Marino and Bob Greasy for a Miami Dolphins record. Let's go ahead and go to the Dolphins quarterback who spoke to the media at the podium after the game.
What was the last time you were in
I can't remember. I would say probably college that I can vividly remember the game against LSU at Alabama, my last game.
What's it feel like when your offense is doing what it's doing today?
It feels good. You know, I think you look at the first half, we couldn't stick to our rhythm. You know, for me, I wanted big plays and big plays now, and so really second half we came in and played the way we wanted to. That's what I'd say about that.
Can you describe what you were thinking, what you were feeling in that fourth quarter? Is that a touchdown after touchdown?
It felt good. We were executing on all cylinders offensively, and then when there were times where we didn't execute, no one panicked. Everyone just came back into the huddle. And we regrouped and we went back out there and tried to execute whatever play we were given.
Tua, how about your perception on that in that whole second half, for that matter?
just the guys up front?
Yeah, I think they did a tremendous job. They did a tremendous job from the first quarter to the ending of the game. There were just some miscommunications that we had here and there, but we got that cleaned up. You know, they did a great job. And I think what's overlooked is the run game. I think we did really good in the run game as well. We wanted to run the ball and we wanted to throw the ball, but you know, we had to make some big plays when it needed to happen. So that's what we did.
169 yards, you had 6 touchdowns. What does that do for your confidence doing that in this league?
Well, I mean, I would say I'm always, you know, confident in what I can do, confident in myself. But you know, I think that just shows the resiliency of our team. It brings all our confidence up, confidence in one another, confidence that if the offense has its turnover, that the defense is going to get us the ball back, and vice versa. So I think you look at the big picture of it. You know, the confidence goes up for the team.
When were you aware Tyreek Hill was coming back in the end? When you got in the huddle?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't know that we weren't going to have Tyreek, we didn't have Tyreek out there for the first couple snaps. And I just found out that he had cramps. But, you know, big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games, and that's what Tyreek did when he came in.
When you came to before the 60-yard touchdown, I think that they didn't have any safety speed. When you come to the line, do you know where you're going to be throwing the ball at?
Well, Tyreek was first in the progression, but I think they busted that coverage. They were all up. It looked like it was going to be a zero look, and then they dropped out. So, you know, I think that might have just been an error, but we found that and we took advantage of it.
What was the coach like with going through this whole up and down and sideways and everything that went on this game? How do you keep you guys where you needed to be?
Mike told us this in our team meeting, you know, that this is going to be a great opportunity for us, that if we ever do get down against these guys, you know, that you're not looking to put your head down. You know, we're always going to be in the game and just play one play at a time. And Mike is always going to say this, and this is kind of like the mindset for our team, is adversity is opportunity, and that's how we look at it.
What was said 35-14 by you, by him? Was that confidence big still there at that point?
Yeah, I mean, we were playing normal football still. We weren't doing anything out of the ordinary until they did give us opportunities to take shots down the field, then that's what we did, but normal play calls.
So you seem really calm for considering what you just accomplished. Any processing yet, what you just did out there?
Well, yeah, I would say I processed what we did out there. That's a big win. That's tough to come into a hostile environment like this and beat a really good team. You know, we'll go enjoy it on the plane, and then when we get home. So, yeah.
And so I just talked to Tyreek on the field, and he was so complimentary of you, and he also addressed the haters and people have negative stuff to say about you. How big of a game is this for you personally? I mean, 6 touchdowns is massive.
Yeah, I would say for me, every game is a big game. I want to do good every time I go out there. I don't want to throw interceptions. I want to throw touchdowns. I want to put our team in the best situation that I possibly can. But you know, we got to be real. You know, those guys on the other side of the ball get paid too, and they're really good players. They study, and you know, all I can do is go out there and you know do what we've done throughout practice, and let's go and play football and hope hope that we can bring home a win.
Were you aware of what Lamar Jackson was doing on the other side, or are you?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh my goodness, of course. I mean, how can you not watch someone like that? You know, he had a great game as well. But yeah, I would say the resiliency of our team, you know, had shown coming out of halftime, and you know, with that big deficit of a lead that they had. So
thanks,
guys.
Thank you.
So there's Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Will assess Tua's presser after the break, but first, let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton. Home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
That's three segments in the books. Our fourth coming up next with our press conference consigliere Seth Levitt taking us through that Tua Tagovailoa press conference. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from M&T Bank Stadium, Dolphins 42, Ravens 38. Still does not feel real. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And after a 6-touchdown pass day, Tua Tagovailoa spoke to the media, and so we do as we do here on the postgame show. We go to Big Seth, our press conference consigliere. Seth, what did you think of QB1 at the podium here?
I mean, it's kind of who he is. Yep. This is the guy that we know, and some people don't like that. They want him to be more rah-rah and jump around and scream and what have you. And they asked him about, you know, was his confidence building as the game went on. He said he's always confident in his abilities. He's always confident in his abilities, and that's never been shaken. And, you know, they talked about, well, you're pretty calm. He just kind of expects himself to play well. He said that. We've heard that. Juice, when he was in the fish tank, he talked about the throw that put him on the map, right, in college,
right,
where he comes in as a true freshman and comes in as freshman, beats Georgia for the national championship with that big throw, and he says, go back and watch it. I'm the only guy who didn't celebrate, and maybe when I should have celebrated. It's just kind of the way that he, you know, they say, that's how you was raised. That's the way he was raised.
Right.
He expects success, and I think that there's this quiet and calm confidence that we see from the coach as well, from Coach McDaniel, that is starting to radiate and players are buying in. And it sure helps when Tyreek Hill comes in and has your back like that and then performs like that and has your back on the field. But, you know, he's got that C on his chest this year. And I don't, you know, and that wasn't just given to him because he's the quarterback. He's earned that, and he certainly earned it today. But that's what stood out to me, is that he didn't come out here and try to act some way that he wasn't. You know, remember there was a lot of talk in training camp. We said, hey, did you see that? That looked like money to me. And we're like, oh, wow, we like this. You know, spicy Tua. We like spicy Tua. But that's, you know, that's really not who he is. Mm-hmm. This is who he is.
Yeah.
And if he can act like that after a 6-touchdown performance, or he can act like that after a 3-interception performance, that tells me that he can line up and play the next play. He can line up and play the next game. I don't think he's going to get overconfident going into the next game. Heck, I think he's got a lot to prove in the next game, and he knows that.
Right.
But man, oh man, it's just, he's more and more starting to look like the guy that we all want him to be.
That sounds good to me. Yeah, man, it's that sign of maturity at such a young age to be able to, like you said, not get too high or too low after a game like that. I mean, we are running around the freaking hallways of this place screaming like little girls, jumping around, showing people on Twitter how excited we are.
And hey, he Travis, just, like, I got a rep to protect now, man.
He meant me and him.
Yeah. It was just me and Seth.
You were screaming like just a big, tough, grown man.
He was strutting in like Vince McMahon, that Jeffrey has the big arms with. That's what Juice looked like.
Man,
but Juice, so I wanted to ask you this because he said he didn't know for a couple snaps that Tyreek was out of the game. Was he just in that much
of
a zone?
He is always going to drop a little strange one on you.
Yeah,
and that was that one.
He must have been that laser focused, man. You know, I mean, and just going through progressions and then, you know.
But don't you want to know where Ken is on every snap? Like, not only on defense, but if I'm the quarterback.
I tell you, the defense does. That's for damn sure.
They did awesome today.
Yeah, they sure do, man. And a couple great plays with, you know, Tyreek as a decoy. But yeah, man, that was really strange that he said that. He didn't know he was out. And then next thing you know, he's got him streaking down the sideline, I guess, for one touchdown and then in another. So, hey, that was one of the crazier things I've heard. And then he talks about, you know, big-time players make big-time plays and big-time games. That's what I like to hear from my quarterback, too, because he said, I think he was referring to Tyreek, but I'm referring to him right now.
Sure.
That's exactly what he did today.
Oh, you got me great excited. Call. Got me
excited. That's a great call.
And Seth, you mentioned something, I think, off the air about the recalls. He kind of started getting into a breakdown of a play, and we love that so much, especially, you know, I love that stuff. But the second long ball to Tyreek, we talked about it in the open, where that outside corner has like a 10-yard cushion. I'm like, just throw it to him now. Like, he's got to come up and make a tackle. And best case, I get him down after 7 or 8 yards. Worst case, he misses a tackle and it's out the gate. But no, that's not what happened. He winds up throwing a go ball to this cornerback who squats right there. And I'm thinking about that play. I'm thinking about Tua's recall, because on the pick, Cheetah ran a little curl route where he hooked up in front of that safety, and they get a similar look this time, and now they squat, and he goes up over the top, and it kind of goes back to not just Tua's recall, but Coach McDaniel play sequencing and recognizing what the defense is doing and adjusting to it. I just look at that play like, man, if we can take what we learn from earlier in the game and apply it like that with these weapons, you know, you're not going to score 42 points every week, but man, I feel good about the offense when they're doing stuff like that, Juice.
Yeah, I mean, the home run ability that we have is incredible. And I think that, you know, Baltimore might have underplayed or, you know, underestimated Tua's arm and arm strength. You know, like, seemed like when you're doing that squat, the one we're talking about, the first one, was they're playing INO inside outside on him, and the safety squatted, both of them squatted. Tyreek ran a heck of a route. Still, he's got to work back some more to the football. Mm-hmm. But same time, though, you could tell there's going to play a lot of attention to what Tyreek was doing. Now, who's the corner that played for Philadelphia in the preseason that was squatting as well?
You got the ice
getting
bags.
Blown by. So you think you look at that film, you say, there's no way I'm going to squat on this guy. I'm going to give him anything underneath.
Right.
Because if I don't get out of his back pedal like right now and run, it's over. And it was over a couple times out there. I've never seen anybody in a Dolphin uniform, I mean, in the last 20 years, running wide open like that and just running by people, man, because we haven't had that guy. We got that guy now, man.
Well, there just aren't a whole lot of them.
Right. There are no.
He's a unicorn for sure.
He's a unicorn for sure.
I don't know, 17 might have something to say about that.
Well, he's a different type of animal.
Sure.
And they both played completely different games today, man. And both so effective,
gosh,
man.
It's so much fun to watch.
You know, we talked about this, and we said it a long time ago. Tyreek's numbers might not tell you what an impact he's having, but look at Waddle's numbers. Today it does. Jeff, stop laughing, Seth. I know today's numbers. I know today's numbers, dude. I know
what
today's
are they not
numbers,
telling
dude. But the impact that Waddle was able to have because of Tyreek being on the field was incredible today. And Waddle, he took advantage of it too. Waddle got a few more one-on-one opportunities. Then when Tyreek went out, you saw Waddle get a lot more attention. You know, so that's why we talked about defense picking their poison. You're going to double one and lead the other one one-on-one, or vice versa. So these guys are going out there, especially in that second half, winning in whatever the one-on-one was and making some tough catches. And I mean, let's go back to your boy Tua. He fit some balls in there today. I mean, he fit some incredible balls in there. I think the best ball is one that was dropped when he looked off, looked wide,
man,
and turned.
That was a beautiful pass.
He threw some great
balls. By the way, Waddle would have been over 200 if he caught that one.
Don't
but that's
say
okay.
It.
But that's okay. You know, those two guys are collected. They're each closing in on 300 yards receiving in two games.
Oh, my goodness.
So just know that. And let me say this. I know we got to go to break soon, but I wrote this down before we even got here. And I'm not saying that to, like, you know, pat myself on the back, but I was looking through the press release that the Dolphins communications team put together, and they have a stat: best QB win percentage in the first 22 career starts. Right, since 2017. The top five guys: Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Tua, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen. Okay, Tua's sitting there at third with 14-8. He's now 15-8, but yet he's been criticized. No player has taken more heat than this guy. And look at those other guys. Some of those guys are talking about, you know, Hall of Fame careers.
Right.
And he's winning. Juice, what's more important as a starting quarterback than your win-loss record?
That's nothing. Nothing at all.
Not one thing.
Nothing at all.
I'm just tired of the yeah, but about look, there are things that he needs to continuously improve upon. Every player does. And I know that, you know, some people sat there and watched Herbert, and, you know, he's electrifying with some of the throws that he makes and what have you, even in a loss. I know that there's been some sports writers around the country that have said, oh, certain teams have dodged a bullet. The guy keeps winning. He's finding a way to win. His team's rallying around him. He threw for 400-plus yards and 6 touchdowns. I mean, I don't know what else you want from the guy.
That's very well said. I'll finish up with this, because I just don't want to hear anymore the things that he can't do. that he did today. Like, and we'll talk about consistency, which is obviously the most important thing. You have to do it week after week in this league. Otherwise,
and in the cold.
You're an also-ran. But, I mean, I just don't want to hear anymore that he can't throw deep, that he can't, you know, spin out of a free rusher. Like, he's done these things. It might not be, like, every dang snap, but he's done it, not consistently, but enough times where you can say he has that in his game. I even tweeted before the game was, you know, got back into Dolphins' favor that despite the two picks, he's shown some flashes today. And Juice mentioned the ball into that triangle where he moved the defender with his eyes and came back to it. You talk about the kind of moxie to win these games late like this. Like, can we just keep him on the same plane as everybody else with the same level of evaluation where it's like, well, he made some great plays, had some down stuff, but still a pretty good game. That's what I hope. I don't expect it, like you said, Seth. But that was a fun segment talking about QB1 there. We have a lot more to come your guys' way. We still have to hear from head coach Mike McDaniel. That's the first time we ever had the quarterback before the coach on the show here, which when you throw 6 touchdown passes, kind of how it goes. We'll do that next, plus plenty, plenty more. I know Juice has some plays he wants to talk about. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Baltimore, Dolphins 42, Ravens 38. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beach.
You are listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. We heard from QB1 at the podium after the Dolphins' surprising come-from-behind 42-38 victory. Now, let's go to the victorious head coach, the unbeaten head coach, 2-0, Mike McDaniel.
Anybody else tired? what do you guys got?
Facing a 21-point deficit at halftime, 21-point deficit at the end of the fourth quarter. What was the message to your team and what clicked to help create this challenge?
No, I mean, we'd been talking about it. We just had a game where we were able to have the lead the whole game, and so the night before I told the guys that I was really hoping that we'd get some adversity in this game, and like I want to see how we respond to a deficit. And apparently they just took me way too literal. But it was I called them out for like it was something that we all kind of expected. They're investing more than they ever have. They're really all in. And it was way disappointing. And so when you're down, the tendency is to kind of like hang your head and be like, and it's from a good spot, but I just challenged him to say that who cares what the score is? It's about how we play football together. So this is an opportunity. It's a tough one, but it doesn't even matter. Let's get something out of this game to feel good about in the second half, and we'll worry about the score sometime in the fourth quarter, but let's just string some stuff together on both sides of the ball. So they had a spirited effort,
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And after a 6-touchdown pass day, Tua Tagovailoa spoke to the media, and so we do as we do here on the postgame show. We go to Big Seth, our press conference consigliere. Seth, what did you think of QB1 at the podium here?
I mean, it's kind of who he is. Yep. This is the guy that we know, and some people don't like that. They want him to be more rah-rah and jump around and scream and what have you. And they asked him about, you know, was his confidence building as the game went on. He said he's always confident in his abilities. He's always confident in his abilities, and that's never been shaken. And, you know, they talked about, well, you're pretty calm. He just kind of expects himself to play well. He said that. We've heard that. Juice, when he was in the fish tank, he talked about the throw that put him on the map, right, in college,
right,
where he comes in as a true freshman and comes in as freshman, beats Georgia for the national championship with that big throw, and he says, go back and watch it. I'm the only guy who didn't celebrate, and maybe when I should have celebrated. It's just kind of the way that he – you know, they say that's how you was raised. That's the way he was raised.
Right.
He expects success. And I think that there's this quiet and calm confidence that we see from the coach as well, from Coach McDaniel, that is starting to radiate and players are buying in. And it sure helps when Tyreek Hill comes in and has your back like that and then performs like that and has your back on the field. But, you know, he's got that C on his chest this year. And I don't, you know, and that wasn't just given to him because he's the quarterback. He's earned that, and he certainly earned it today. But that's what stood out to me, is that he didn't come out here and try to act some way that he wasn't. You know, remember there was a lot of talk in training camp. We said, hey, did you see that? That looked like money to me. And we're like, oh, wow, we like this. You know, spicy Tua. We like spicy Tua. But that's, you know, that's really not who he is. Mm-hmm. This is who he is.
Yeah.
And if he can act like that after a 6-touchdown performance, or he can act like that after a 3-interception performance, that tells me that he can line up and play the next play. He can line up and play the next game. I don't think he's going to get overconfident going into the next game. Heck, I think he's got a lot to prove in the next game, and he knows that.
Right.
But man, oh man, it's just he's more and more starting to look like the guy that we all want him to be.
That sounds good to me. Yeah, man, it's that sign of maturity at such a young age to be able to, like you said, not get too high or too low after a game like that. I mean, we are running around the freaking hallways of this place screaming like little girls, jumping around and showing people on Twitter how excited we are. And
hey, Travis,
just like,
I got a rep to protect now, man.
He met me and him.
Yeah. It was just me and Seth.
You were screaming like just a big, tough, grown man.
He was strutting in like Vince McMahon, that GIF where he has the big arms. Wait, that's what Juice looked like.
But
Juice, so I wanted to ask you this because he said he didn't know for a couple snaps that Tyreek was out of the game. Was he just in that much
of
a zone?
He is always going to drop a little strange one on you.
Yeah,
and that was that one.
He must have been that laser focused, man. Yes. You know what I mean? And just going through progressions and then, you know.
But don't you want to know where 10 is on every snap? Like, not only on defense,
every single time.
If I'm the quarterback.
I tell you, the defense does. That's for damn sure,
they did
right?
Awesome today.
Yeah, they sure do, man. And a couple great plays with, you know, Tyreek as a decoy. But, yeah, man, that was really strange that he said that. He didn't know he was out. And then next thing you know, he's got him streaking down the sideline, I guess, for one touchdown and then in another. So, hey, that was one of the crazier things I've heard. And then he talks about, you know, big-time players make big-time plays and big-time games. That's what I like to hear from my quarterback, too, because he said, I think he was referring to Tyreek, but I'm referring to him right now.
Sure.
That's exactly what he did today.
Oh, you got me
great
excited.
Call.
Juice. Got me excited.
That's a great call.
And Seth, you mentioned something, I think, off the air about the recalls. He kind of started getting into a breakdown of a play, and we love that so much, especially, I love that stuff. But the second long ball to Tyreek, we talked about it in the open, where that outside corner has like a 10-yard cushion. I'm like, just throw it to him now. Like, he's got to come up and make a tackle. And best case, I get him down after 7 or 8 yards. Worst case, he misses a tackle and it's out the gate. But no, that's not what happened. He winds up throwing a go ball to this cornerback who squats right there. And I'm thinking about that play. I'm thinking about Tua's recall because on the pick, Cheetah ran a little curl route where he hooked up in front of that safety, and they get a similar look this time, and now they squat, and he goes up over the top, and it kind of goes back to not just Tua's recall, but Coach McDaniel play sequencing and recognizing what the defense is doing and adjusting to it. I just look at that play like, man, if we can take what we learn from earlier in the game and apply it like that with these weapons, you know, you're not going to score 42 points every week, but man, I feel good about the offense and they're doing stuff like that, Juice.
Yeah, I mean, the home run ability that we have is incredible. And I think that, you know, Baltimore might have underplayed or, you know, underestimated Tua's arm and arm strength. You know, like, seemed like when you're doing that squat, the one we're talking about, the first one, was they're playing INO inside outside on him, and the safety squatted, both of them squatted. Tyreek ran a heck of a route. Still, he's got to work back some more to the football. Mm-hmm. But same time, though, you could tell there's going to play a lot of attention to what Tyreek was doing. Now, who's the corner that played for Philadelphia in the preseason that was squatting as well,
got the ice
getting
bags.
Blown by. So you think you look at that film, you say, there's no way I'm going to squat on this guy. I'm going to give him anything underneath.
Right.
Because if I don't get out of this back pedal like right now and run, it's over. And it was over a couple times out there. I've never, I mean, I've never seen anybody in a Dolphin uniform, I mean, in the last 20 years, running wide open like that and just running by people, man, because we haven't had that guy. We got that guy now, man.
Well, there just aren't a whole lot of them.
Right. There are no. He's a unicorn.
He's kind of a one of one,
isn't he? He's a unicorn for sure.
I don't know, 17 might have something to say about that.
Well, he's a different type of animal.
Sure.
And they both played completely different games today, man. It was – and both so effective,
God,
man.
It's so much fun to watch.
You know, we talked about this, and we said it a long time ago. Tyreek's numbers might not tell you what an impact he's having, but look at Waddle's numbers. Today it does. Jeff, stop laughing, Seth. I know today's numbers. I know today's numbers, dude. I know today's numbers, dude. But the impact that Waddle was able to have because of Tyreek being on the field was incredible today. And Waddle, he took advantage of it, too. Waddle got a few more one-on-one opportunities. Then when Tyreek went out, you saw Waddle get a lot more attention. You know, so that's why we talk about defense picking their poison. You're going to double one and lead the other one-on-one or vice versa. So these guys are going out there, especially in that second half, winning in whatever the one-on-one was and making some tough catches. And I mean, let's go back to your boy Tua. He fit some balls in there today. I mean, he fit some incredible balls in there. I think the best ball is one that was dropped when he looked off, looked wide,
man,
and turned.
That was a beautiful pass.
He threw some great balls.
By the way, Waddle would have been over 200 if you caught that one.
Don't
but that's
say
okay.
It.
But that's okay. You know, those two guys are collected. They're each closing in on 300 yards receiving in two games.
Oh, my goodness.
So just know that. And let me say this. I know we got to go to break soon, but I wrote this down before we even got here. And I'm not saying that to, like, you know, pat myself on the back, but I was looking through the press release that the Dolphins communications team put together, and they have a stat: best QB win percentage in the first 22 career starts. Right, since 2017. The top five guys: Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Tua, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen. Okay? Tua's sitting there at third with 14-8. He's now 15-8. But yet he's been criticized. No player has taken more heat than this guy. And look at those other guys. Some of those guys are talking about, you know, Hall of Fame careers.
Right.
And he's winning. Juice, what's more important as a starting quarterback than your win-loss record?
That's nothing. Nothing at all.
Not one thing.
Nothing at all.
I'm just tired of the yeah, but about – look, there are things that he needs to continuously improve upon. Every player does. And I know that, you know, some people sat there and watched Herbert and, you know, he's electrifying with some of the throws that he makes and what have you, even in a loss. I know that there's been some sports writers around the country that have said, oh, certain teams have dodged a bullet. The guy keeps winning. He's finding a way to win. His team's rallying around him. He threw for 400-plus yards and 6 touchdowns. I mean, I don't know what else you want from the guy.
That's very well said. I'll finish up with this because I just don't want to hear anymore the things that he can't do that he did today. Like, and we'll talk about consistency, which is obviously the most important thing. You have to do it week after week in this league. Otherwise,
and in the cold.
You're an also-ran. But, I mean, I just don't want to hear anymore that he can't throw deep, that he can't, you know, spin out of a free rusher. Like, he's done these things. It might not be, like, every dang snap, but he's done it, not consistently, but enough times where you can say he has that in his game. I even tweeted before the game was, you know, got back into Dolphins' favor that despite the two picks, he's shown some flashes today. And Juice mentioned the ball into that triangle where he moved the defender with his eyes and came back to it. You talk about the kind of moxie to win these games late like this. Like, can we just keep him on the same plane as everybody else with the same level of evaluation where it's like, well, he made some great plays, had some down stuff, but
it's
still a pretty
happen.
Good game. That's what I hope. I don't expect it, like you said, Seth. But that was a fun segment talking about QB1 there. We have a lot more to come your guys' way. We still have to hear from head coach Mike McDaniel. That's the first time we ever had the quarterback before the coach on the show here, which when you throw 6 touchdown passes, kind of how it goes. We'll do that next, plus plenty, plenty more. I know Juice has some plays he wants to talk about. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Baltimore, Dolphins 42, Ravens 38. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beach.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. We heard from QB1 at the podium after the Dolphins' surprising come-from-behind 42-38 victory. Now, let's go to the victorious head coach, the unbeaten head coach, 2-0, Mike McDaniel.
Wait, anybody else tired? What do you guys got?
Mike, and you're facing a 21-point deficit at halftime, 21-point deficit at the end of the fourth quarter. What was the message to your team and what clicked to help create this challenge?
No, I mean, we'd been talking about it. We just had a game where we were able to have the lead the whole game. And so I the night before, I told the guys that, you know, I was really hoping that we'd get some adversity this game. And, like, I want to see how we respond to a deficit. And apparently they just took me way too literal. But it was, I called them out for, like, it was something that we all kind of expected. They're investing more than they ever have. They're really all in. And it was way disappointing. And so when you're down, the tendency is to kind of like hang your head and be like, and it's from a good spot, but that, you know, I just challenged them to say that who cares what the score is? It's about our, how we play football together. So this is an opportunity. It's a tough one, but it doesn't even matter. Let's go, let's get something out of this game to feel good about in the second half, and we'll worry about the score sometime in the fourth quarter, but let's just string some stuff together on both sides of the ball. So they had a spirited effort, and yeah, it was, I mean, it's all, you talk about what it takes to be able to do something like that. It's an entire team of the right type of people, everyone echoing the same messages, and you have to get a little fortuitous. And shoot, I mean, all the credit goes to Baltimore for putting us in that bind. And then had a lot of players make a lot of plays to get out of it. So that was very encouraging.
Of course, you get down right off the opening kickoff, and you get back into the game, and then you get a gut punch again, and kind of kept going back. You kind of creep up, and then get back down again. Did doubt ever creep into your mind at any point?
No, it wasn't. But it wasn't, you know, I didn't have time to doubt anything. I was just, you know, kind of absorbing what was happening in the first half. And so then I just didn't care about the outcome of the game at that point. At halftime, I just wanted us to, you know, it was a huge opportunity for us to show who we are and play good football for each other. And, yeah, then once... But the whole process, I was just worried about us playing good football. Once we got within two scores, I felt pretty solid about it. And then, you know, the way the NFL game is played, when you have momentum swings like that, you know, I've been on the opposite end of leads given up, so... You feel really confident once you start coming back. A lot of times that falls short because you don't have complimentary football. I think I think the last four offensive drives we had were touchdowns, and I think in that span there was 3 points given up. That's complimentary football when your team needs to do it the most. And a lot of guys it doesn't happen without a complete effort by everyone to press forward. And, you know, guys care about the Dolphin product, so it was a pretty exciting moment.
What does a game like this do for Tua and that offense's confidence in Tua?
No, now maybe Tua will finally listen to me. And what I mean by that is, like, I've said it to you guys before, but, like, it's awesome to be critical of yourself. It is good. You know, he has a high standard for himself. But, you know, just after the first game, I just wanted to see the guy enjoy playing football and understand that, yes, you want to make the perfect read and the perfect throw every time. But who cares? If you just get better at one thing a game, you're going to be pretty good at the end of the season. So let's just press forward. Well, the absolute worst thing could have happened at the beginning of the game for him, where he, you know, we get a contested ball. It's not really his fault. I know Tyreek will say he should catch that. the first interception, and then he starts pressing and throws it up for a second interception. So you would want to talk about everything we talk about and how coachable the guy is. And I mean, this is huge because he stopped worrying about the last play and he went and played and took his responsibility serious to his teammates about, hey, I'm going to lead this team confidently. It is what you get into sports for. It is as cool for the coaching staff and him. Like it was coming to life. I think it was a moment that he'll never forget, that hopefully he can use moving forward, because we didn't have the strongest. We basically had to play perfect complementary football to come back from a deficit like that against a really good team. So I couldn't be happier for him and his teammates. His teammates learned a lot about him, and I think he learned. His teammates learned a lot about him, and I think he learned something about himself.
Were you surprised when Tyreek came back in?
No, I'm never surprised with anything Tyreek. He came out with a cramp, I think. He was still running fast. He's crazy.
How about the performance of Lamar on the other side? He really struggled against you guys last year, realizing he wasn't the coach then, but he really put up some numbers.
Yeah. Pretty good team. Credit to them. Both sides of the ball knew what happened last game. They both knew that there would be different preparation, and that our defense knew that they couldn't surprise the guys. And to his credit, he took advantage. I mean, he definitely rectified. He can put to bed those issues that he had last year, because everybody gets frustrated when that happens. But you know, we knew as an organization that you don't get to be where the Baltimore Ravens are as an organization. How well coached they are, and just that the organization in general, without getting that fixed. So we knew it wasn't going to be the same formula. They did happen. Some situations did come up where we audibled to some of the pressures, and they took advantage of it. So good for them. So we kept, that's to their credit. They did a great job with that, and I'm just happy that the guys got this learning experience, and fortunately you can end up winning the game as well. But I know our guys learned a lot from this game, which we need to moving forward.
Last week you said that you would have thought Jalen would play a larger part of the game plan. Was it a concerted effort this time around to make sure he was involved early?
Yeah, no, it wasn't early. It was just involved. There was some, I just didn't know how Jalen was going to respond in that first game. I didn't want to get greedy and overuse him, and this game I was a lot less worried about that. But we have a lot of good, talented, skilled position players at all positions, so we'll always try to utilize all the dudes. It was good to get him going early, because we are pretty different when he's making plays. I didn't realize it was 19 targets. Yes. Yeah, we were trying to utilize him, I guess, huh? But good for him, and good for all the guys.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it.
So there is head coach Mike McDaniel, who is now 2-0 as a head coach in his NFL career. We'll come back on the other side and talk about that press conference there with Mike McDaniel and, of course, our press conference consigliere, Big Seth Levitt over here. Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets, so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Dolphins postgame is also driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Dolphins 42, Ravens 38. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.